Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. Now this verse of Scripture says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Now at first glance, that may not make sense to you, but we're going to go through and we're going to study it, and you're going to see that it makes a great deal of sense because you see it applied many, many times in life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17 says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Now, what is this? Well, it's classically illustrated by a child who tattles to mom about a sibling's misdeed or cruelty. You know, coming, "Mom, Mom, she hit me. Mom, Mom, he hit me." You've heard that if you've raised children or been around children. And the first one that comes and tattles is first in his own cause, and he seemeth just. You know, there's a little red mark there. There's tears. There's an indication that something bad has happened. But then the Bible goes on to say, "His neighbor cometh and searcheth him." So Mom goes to search out the cause for the little tussle, only to find out after inquiry that the tattler was the one who started the whole thing anyway. He was first in his own cause, but he was searched out and found to be guilty instead of innocent. And that's the way it is with people. Something bad happens to you and you go crying, you know, somebody hurt you, somebody did something against you. But then when all of the details surface, you find out that really, in fact, there was more to the story than what was told. Take, for instance, what happens in a debate. He that is first in his own cause, okay? Typically in a debate, the affirmative gets to get up and present their case in the debate, and they tell their side, and they sound so convincing that you're ready to believe what they have said is true, and you're ready to agree with them and to award them for presenting their case so well and for having researched everything so well. But then the negative gets up and gives their rebuttal, and suddenly the affirmative looks weak and unconvincing. Why? Because somebody else has come and searched out their case and given you more quotations, more information, that all of a sudden gives you a reason to believe that, wait a minute, maybe there is more to this story than I have been told. Maybe the person who has spoken first is not just. There's more to it. This is very typical in court. In court, the plaintiff presents his case. And truthfully, after you hear his case, you're ready to award him a judgment. If you've ever sat on a jury before, if you've ever been in trial before, if you've ever been the plaintiff, if you've ever been the defendant, you see how this thing goes. And now, if you're a party to the trial, you generally have more facts than the jury going in. I mean, you just know about it. And so what happens is the plaintiff's attorney tries to present the case in such a way that the jury is convinced that the plaintiff is right and deserves the award, whatever that may be. But then the defense gets up and cross-examines witnesses and presents its own case. And then afterwards, you think, how did this plaintiff ever get this far? What a ridiculous case. You say, why do you come to that conclusion? Because what's happened is the neighbor has come and searched him. Because you've got to remember something, and we'll look at several illustrations. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. That's because he doesn't tell you all the detail. He leaves out certain details. I've seen this happen in all kinds of walks of life. I've seen it happen in court, seen it happen in debate, seen it happen with children, as we've already discussed. I've seen it happen with Christians. I have seen missionaries who have done this kind of thing to other missionaries, and their motive could be envy because the missionary that they're trying to take down is doing so much better job than they are that he's actually making them look bad, or their motive was embarrassment. Something happened on the field that another missionary did that made the first missionary, the one who was first in his own cause, embarrassed. Now, here's what happens. Let's be a little bit specific, but not go into too much detail. Okay, the one who is first in his cause lies about the other missionary. All right, in one case, I remember a missionary was serving on the foreign field, married, children. He was expanding his work beyond the home base, and they were building churches out from the central hub. All right, he was getting so many souls saved through his work. The other missionaries were not doing so well. They didn't have glowing reports like his to put in their missionary letters, and so they became envious of him. And what they did is they told a story that this particular missionary who was doing so well was having an affair. That story got to his wife. She left the field. She didn't like it much anyway. With his children, they got the story back to the mission board, and he lost, because it was a very close-knit group of churches that were supporting him, he lost all of his financial support right in the middle of the biggest expansion of his work on his field. Now, the people that made the report, who were first in their own cause, seemed just that they had enough facts to bring this man down. They seemed just. But later, a preacher who suspected maybe something was wrong because the guy was doing so well, traveled to the field, found him living in a hut amongst the people to whom he was witnessing, staying in the work without financial support, found out what his plans were, brought him home to the United States, raised a pile of money for him to continue in his work, and sent him back to the field. By the time that man had spent 40 years on the field, through his missionary efforts directly and through the men that he trained, he and his men were responsible for starting over 135 churches and leading thousands and thousands and thousands of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw his work. What happened? Those who seemed first in their own cause seemed just, but this other preacher and then others later searched out, you see, the claim, searched him, and found out, in fact, that those who had spoken against him were wrong and the work that he was doing was right. Amazing story. An amazing story in your resilience. If you're doing something God wants you to do, to stay with it regardless of whether other people that started with you will stay with you, and if God's really in it, it'll continue. In another case, a missionary left the field for a period of time and ask another missionary to manage his work in his absence, which the missionary did. When he got back, and that is the first missionary, the second missionary that simply managed the work for him in his absence had done a stellar job, and the first missionary was embarrassed. What did he do? He sent word back to the mission board, first in his own cause, seeming just, that this missionary had done things wrong, messed up his house and some other things like that. So the missionary was chastised by the mission board without inquiry to see whether or not what had been reported was true. And to this day, I'm telling you, that man has suffered under that rebuke, and it has him currently out of the ministry. And later, search was done and found out that the first missionary was wrong. The tattler was covering himself. The person he accused was really innocent of the charge. It's terrible. This kind of thing happens to you all the time. You may have had it happen to you in your business. You may have happened to you in your family, where somebody will tell you something about a particular part of the business, but they won't tell you all of it. They'll only tell you the part that makes the person telling it look justified in his response and in his reaction to a particular decision. Then when the search is on, you all of a sudden find out that the person failed to reveal to you all of the evidence and ended up withholding some of it that would make him look bad. And therefore, he thought by covering up some stuff, he could actually get away with the decision he had made. You see that happen in business all the time. a borrower will be first in his own cause, and he'll seem just. A search by the credit committee may find that he's left out some very important details that would have a drastic effect on the credit decision. On the internet, a fellow sends an email to his friends warning of a virus. You get all excited and forward it to your inbox. A search is made, and one of your friends emails back that the warning was just a hoax. You got all excited about your cause for nothing, only to find out after the search that you yourself should have made that search before ever stating your cause. You thought you were doing people a favor, and what you ended up doing was flooding somebody else's inboxes. In politics, this happens, and it's terribly abused. One politician who wants to be elected and then is first in his own cause attacks the other politician and feels just doing it because he thinks he's going to do a better job if he can get elected. However, if the person that is attacked does not have good contact with the media, and the person who does the attacking does, if he's the media's boy, no search is made by the neighbor. However, if the search were to be made, it would become immediately apparent that the man who was first in his own cause was not just. It reminds me of the Pharisees who said that woman that was taken in adultery ought to be stoned. They weren't just. They were tempting Jesus Christ, and they were wrong. And Jesus Christ searched them out with whatever he wrote in that ground, and their own consciences wouldn't allow them to stick around. Listen, more than likely the birth of conservative talk radio had to do with the fact that liberal media took one side in these kinds of things, like supporting one politician over the other and calling it news. They wanted to search the liberal media to let you hear another side that would cause you to question whether what you had been told the first time was the truth. And we have found, oftentimes, what you've been told is not the truth. Not every time, but, you know, just from time to time, often enough. In soul winning, we do this very thing. In soul winning, we inquire of a man concerning his soul, and when he is first in his own cause, he will justify himself. Then he will be searched by the gospel. That's where the neighbor, in that case. We come and search him by the gospel, until he is found to be unjust, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And if he accepts the search, he will receive the Lord. All right, with that thought in mind, we ought to do a brief search of your heart. And then what we'll do is we will proceed to instructions from this parable that you and I ought to learn. Okay? But here's the search. I'm going to ask you right now, while you're listening to me on the radio, to make yourself first in your own cause and to seem just. Are you saved? And you may say, I'm a Christian. I believe in doing right by my fellow man. I hope to go to heaven when I die. Now, if you're first in your own cause and you take that stand that you intend to be able to get to heaven because you have treated your fellow man right, you have done the best that you can, you have faithfully attended church from time to time and even given money from time to time, at least that much. And you believe that because you've done those things, God ought to let you into heaven because that's your cause. You're first in your own cause to justify yourself. And hey, Don't become defensive, because there are many people just like you. We've met many of them in talking to them about their souls. But let's continue. Now, the Bible says this. Listen carefully. This is the search. And if you're right in your cause, then you will be just. And if you're not right in your cause, you're going to hear something in the search that will cause you to consider what God said rather than what you believe, if you can stand the search. Listen carefully. You've said you believe that God should let you into heaven because you've been good to your fellow man, you've done good works, and so forth and so on. Now listen carefully. Okay? The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How does that set with your philosophy? How does that set with your cause? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're not saved by works. No amount of good works can save you, because God doesn't accept good works as the method for salvation. You say, well, then how would a man be saved? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, I believe in him. I've believed in him all my life, ever since I can remember. That's true, and that's good. But the difference between believing in somebody because you understand or accept what the Bible says is not the same thing as believing in somebody in the sense that you're trusting them. Let me give you an example. I didn't find out until after it happened that my son had made a tandem jump out of an airplane. You know, one of these skydiver things? I saw the pictures. That's how I found out he'd done it. What did he do? Well, he got up in that airplane and he harnessed himself to the diver, the skydiver. And then the skydiver had the parachute and they jumped out of the plane. When he jumped out of that plane, he was now completely and absolutely at the mercy of that skydiver. If the harness were to break, if the skydiver chute were not to open, if the skydiver didn't know what he was talking about, they were going to hit the ground and die. They were free falling in the air. And the only thing that my son could depend upon for his safe landing was that skydiver. That diver had to know what he was doing. He had to pull that chute and he had to land them safely on the ground. Everything of his temporal life depended upon a safe landing by that other skydiver. Now that's believing in somebody. Somebody says, you believe you can jump with that skydiver and make it down here on the ground? Okay. You say, sure, I believe that. And the guy says, all right, if you really believe it, get in the plane. Well, now you're going to find out whether the guy meant it or not. So Jesus Christ says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you really believe it, you'll trust him in the same way that my son trusted that skydiver, absolutely, completely, without reservation and without depending upon anything else. My son didn't have a rope to hang on to. He didn't have a ledge to hang on to. He didn't have a safety net to catch him when they got down on the ground. Everything depended upon that man. And in salvation, everything depends upon Jesus Christ. So if you're depending upon your good works, your baptism, and your church membership, and your kindness to your fellow man, you are hanging on to safety nets and ropes and sticks and braces that don't exist. In salvation, those props are not there. You're in a free fall toward hell, and the only thing that's going to stop that fall is Jesus Christ. And if you trust him, he'll stop your fall and take you to heaven when you die. And if you don't trust him, you are going to keep falling until you wind up in hell. Now you've been searched out. Your neighbor, that's me, came and searched you. And if you honestly depend upon Jesus Christ and nobody else for your salvation, your cause will stand. You are justified by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm now justified and so are you, if you've trusted him the same way that you would trust a skydiver in a tandem jump. But if you've not trusted him, you're trusting your good works, your baptism, your church membership, whatever, then you're not trust. Then you've been searched out by your neighbor, that's me, and you are first in your own cause, but your cause doesn't stand. It doesn't stand the test of the Bible. You say, well, why are you trying to do that? Are you trying to convert me? Yes, if you're not saved, absolutely. To Christianity, not to me. To the Bible, not to me. To Jesus Christ, not to our church, to salvation in the body of Christ through Jesus Christ. Our church is here to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ and to strengthen young converts so that they can grow strong in the Lord, and to take older converts and help them work together for the salvation of souls and the missionary efforts of saints around the world, and to glorify God preeminently. So we're not trying to get you to be a part of us unless God directs you this way. Then we'd be delighted for you to be a part of us. Our main objective right now is that you might be saved. If you're first in your own cause and you seem just to yourself, you need to take the advice of your neighbor here. And you need to get in that Bible, and you need to find out how to be saved through Jesus Christ. You've heard it. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, not in things, not in church membership, not in baptism, and not in good works, and not in treating your fellow man right. Those things all come as a result of salvation, but if they're used to replace salvation, you're in terrible shape. All right, now, having thrown that in, and having given you illustrations from politics and from the internet and from families and from missionaries and from the courts and from debate and from children, what should we do about this proverb that we've heard here? Perhaps you're already saved and you've been checked out. What should we do about this proverb here? He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. What should you do? First of all, don't be first in your own cause unless you are prepared to be searched. That's a mouthful. The first thing you should do about Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17 is this. Don't be first in your own cause unless you are prepared to be searched. That is, God is going to search you, or somebody else is going to search you, and if you've come up first in your own cause and you're not prepared for the search, for people to verify whether or not your cause is right, then don't go there. Don't be first in your own cause. Just settle back and wait. Because the search will come with the pronouncement of your cause. People are going to check you out to see whether or not what you have is going to stand. I had a person call me one time saying he wanted to raise money to help out policemen or Department of Public Safety men. And that sounded like a good idea, but I checked him out. I asked him a question. I said, how much of this goes for administrative purposes? And I think he said 65 or 75%. It was very high. And I said, to me, that's too high. I'd rather get it right into the hands of the widow. In the search, you know, people are going to check you out. I wanted to know. You're going to check out people when they tell you to sign the bottom line. You're going to check out to see whether or not what they say is so. And so why shouldn't people check you out to see if what you're saying is so? It shouldn't offend you at all if they want to verify what you said is so. And if you're not prepared to be searched, don't speak up. Secondly, if you can't stand up to the search, then you are not ready to state your cause. That is, if your particular platform, your particular cause is not tried and true, and if anybody were to search it out, they would find out that your cause won't stand up, then you know what? You're not ready to state your cause. You will crumble. But if you are certain that your cause will stand to a diligent search, then go ahead. Be the first in your own cause, because the more they search, the more they're only going to find out that what you said is so. What's the third thing we ought to do about this proverb? The third thing we ought to do about this proverb is never believe the first thing you hear, especially if it concerns the cause of the man who is telling it. Never believe it. Always check it out. That's why I don't like telephone solicitations. Because they're not going to give you the opportunity to search the thing out. All they're going to do is tell you they're one side, and it's all a pre-printed, pre-written script. You know, they're running off at the mouth so fast you can't even tell them, hold on, I don't want it. Goodbye. And what you've got to be able to do is you got to be able to stop. You got to be able to get the literature. You got to be able to talk to people and get references. You got to be able to check out on various other methods, Better Business Bureau and so forth, whether or not what you're being sold is a good thing or a bad thing. So never believe the first thing you hear, especially if it concerns the cause of a man who is telling it. That's why I went through and preached the gospel to you. There are many people that I've talked to who believe the first thing they hear, which is a religious spiel by the people that train them when they're children, and they never go behind to see whether or not what they've been told is so. You know what I did? I began to read the Bible for myself, and in my religion, they told me, you're not supposed to do that. You might get it wrong. But the Bible there says that the Holy Spirit will anoint a man to read that Bible and help him to understand it, and that Bible there says that the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you, guide you into all truth. And so I trusted that the Holy Spirit would do so and began to read and read and read and read and study and study and study and study and check and check and check and check. And you know what I found out? I found out a lot of the things that I was told as a kid weren't right. Never believe the first thing you hear, especially if it concerns the cause of a man who is telling it. Always check it out. I'm never offended if I preach the gospel to somebody and then they want to go to the Bible and check the thing out to see whether it's so and talk with other people to see if it's so. I encourage them to do that. I want them to be sure about the decision they're about to make. I don't have to worry about them finding out some bad, warped, untrue thing about what we're saying when we preach the gospel. I don't have to hem them in and keep them away from other people so that they don't have to hear these things like that Mormon did the other day I was telling you about. We talked to the Mormons and listened to them 45 minutes patiently tell us all about their deal, and then we were going to tell them about their things. We had some evidence that we thought they should know, and the older guy didn't want the younger guy to hear it, and so he reneged on his word when he said he was going to listen to what we had to say and left. Why? He was afraid if the younger man heard it, he might convert. He might get saved. I'm not worried about that. When you hear the gospel from my lips, you can check it out. If you could get into heaven and ask God himself, you'd find out what you heard is so. The last thing, don't react or respond to the first thing you hear until you have done the search. Otherwise, you ought to let it go in one ear and out the other. In other words, don't react to it if you're not willing to do the search. It reminds me of a friend that I have who reacts to the first thing that he always hears, whether it's right or wrong. The first person gets to him and tells him, then he goes ahead and decides that person must be right and follows that thought. Listen, if you're not willing to do the search, then don't react or respond to the thing that you've heard. Just leave it lie. But if you're willing to respond and react to it, then you've got to do the search. You've got to check it out and see if it's so. And if it's not so, then you'll know that the initial reaction that you were hoping, or that they were hoping you would get, it would be the wrong reaction. So remember this proverb, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. So don't be offended when somebody searches you after you've stated your cause. They want to be sure you're right. And always remember, if you can't stand up to the search, then you're not ready to state your cause. Never believe the first thing you hear, especially if it concerns the cause of the man who's telling it. And don't react or respond to the first thing you hear until you've done the search. Otherwise, in one ear, out the other. Now, I hope this has been a help to you in this proverb. First of all, to understand it. And secondly, know how to deal with it. And thirdly, if you've not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and didn't realize that it was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where you have to depend upon Him and Him only to get you to heaven, then we pray that you will do something about what you've heard and receive Him as your Savior. And you'll be saved. Check it out. Search it and see if it's so.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.